Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Amen. Let's pray together and ask God's help as we meditate on His Word. Father, we thank You for Your truth. God, we thank You that every jot and tittle of Your Word is true and breathed out by You and profitable for instruction and teaching. And we pray, Lord, that You would let us hear from You today, that we might be more in love with You, that we might be more faithful to You, that we might be filled with faith in You. God, we might walk the wise life. Father, help us to walk in wisdom. Help us to walk with Jesus. And Father, we pray that this study in the book of Proverbs would be used by You to help us do that. And so change us today and make us more like Your Son. For Jesus' sake, amen. So we are in a section of Proverbs emphasizing the beauty and the value and the preciousness of wisdom, And over again, I want to remind you that wisdom is a person. Wisdom is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30, we read, "It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." And Colossians 2, verses 2 through 3, "Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And so if we want to live the wise life, if we want to grow in wisdom, if we want to be obedient to God in a wise way, then we will look to Jesus, and we have the words of God before us to point us to Christ. And so the first thing that we see in this particular section is that the Lord created the earth by wisdom. The Lord created the earth by wisdom. Look at verses 19 and 20 again. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. And so we see here the Lord made everything from nothing by wisdom. And so some of you who go to a public school system will not be taught this. You will be taught that the Lord was not in the picture and everything just sort of appeared over millions of years evolving. And we want you to know, young person, that that is not true. God made everything from nothing, and He did it by His wisdom. And the creation is on display to show the beauty and the glory and the power of God. So I want to read to you Genesis 1, just to get a little flavor for this. So you'll know how to talk to your teachers about this. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 8. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Notice you're going to have the Trinity right here. You have God the Father speaking. You have the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. And you have the Word is Jesus. The Word made flesh, we know, and speaking creation into existence. The Word is Christ. And God said, verse 3, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the earth. Separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. So God creates, He speaks into nothing and creates the world from nothing. And we know this by faith. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And so this text is teaching us about God's founding of the heavens and the earth, His making, His creating of the world, and He did so by wisdom. And again, this displays His glory and His beauty and His power and His sovereignty. Sometimes when you look at the sun and you see and know that it's 93 million miles away, this huge star burning, and it ought to move you to worship not the sun, but the God who made the sun. And you may have seen that blood moon. You see these amazing creations of God, and it should move you to worship and glorify God who made all these things by wisdom. And you see one another made in the image of God, and you should be amazed that God has made such creatures in His image, and it ought to move you to worship. You go to the zoo and see the animals, all the animals that God has made, His creativity, and it ought to move you to worship, not the animals, but God. If you watch football and you see the athletes and how they catch and run and move and juke and throw, it ought to move you to worship God. He made them. He made them. He made them to be able to do that. And if they're that great to you, how much greater ought to be the Creator who made them? So watching these things ought to move you to worship God. By His wisdom did all this. And Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Psalm 104:24, O Lord, how manifold are Your works. In wisdom You have made them all. The earth is full of Your creatures. Friends, that God in His creation, it ought to cause us to stand in awe and be amazed, and we so often take it for granted. I love what is said of the Queen of Sheba when she came and saw Solomon's wisdom. It says he took her breath away. In 1 Kings 10, when she came and saw the wisdom of Solomon and all that he had, it says there was no more breath in her. How much more ought the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus, by whom He created the world, take our breath away? As we behold Him, as we meditate on Him, as we think on Him, for it was Christ, the wisdom of God, through which He created the world. In John 1, verses 1 through 3, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So in our text, God made the earth by wisdom. In John 1, 3, all things were made by through Jesus. By Jesus. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus was not made. He always has been. Or Colossians 1, 16 through 17, referring to Jesus, for by Him all things were created. He is the wisdom of God. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. The Lord by Christ created everything in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And so, wisdom, the wisdom that we're studying in the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of Christ, Christ Himself, who is the wisdom of God, is in the very structure of creation. It's built into the very structure of creation, this wisdom of God. One commentator, Dwayne Garrett, says this: the main point here is that whoever abandons wisdom runs against the very structure by which the world was made. You see, we're seeing here how God made everything through wisdom. And if you run contrary to God's wisdom, you turn away from the very structure through which God created everything. You run against the way God made the world. And so the takeaway point, the cash value here is, live how God made you to live. Live according to God's wisdom. Turn away from sin. Sin is contra the way God made the world. Sin is contra wisdom. Sin is contra what's best for you, even though it might entice you to think it's what's best for you. You see, that's what sin does. It comes to you and says, oh no, this is what's best for you. Your mom and dad say this, but this is what's best for you. Your pastor says this, but this is actually what's best for you. Did God really say? You see, sin comes to you with promises of joy, of happiness, of fulfillment, and seeks to lead you away from God to hell. But you see, God made you. He knows what's best for you. And we study His wisdom. He's showing you how to live, how to have your best life in this world. And when we sin, we run contrary to that. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we're glad that you're here. But you see, your biggest problem is that you have kicked against God's wisdom. You have turned away from God's way, and you have decided that you would go your own way and do your own thing. And we here, we love you. We want you to turn back to God's way. Turn back to God's wisdom. And there's only one reason you ever have hope that you could do that. And that's that God in His wisdom, God in His love and in His wisdom, He made a way to remove His own wrath and curse and judgment towards you for your sin against Him. And so Jesus came into the world, the God-man, the wisdom of God, came down from glory in heaven to this sin, sick, evil, wicked, rebellious world. And He lived a perfect, righteous life, always walking according to God's wisdom, never sinned. Died on a cross where He suffered the wrath and the curse and the judgment of God, and then rose up from the dead so that if you turn from your sin and believe in Him, He'll save you. His Spirit will fill your heart and guide you and lead you. Friends, this is the gospel of Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We don't want you to perish. We want you to be saved. We want you to be born again. And God says He does that through the preaching of His Word. Friend, if that's a new message for you, we want to talk to you about it. We want you to be delivered from the lies that enslave you. The things that you do that feel so good. You know, that's what happens when you lose your temper. It feels so good to get mad. Feels like the right thing to do, but it's sin. It's murder in the heart. It feels so good to look at this or look at that on the computer. But Jesus says it's adultery, and it leads to death. We want you to repent and come to Christ and be cleansed, be forgiven by faith alone, by simply trusting in the Redeemer's blood. You can be cleansed from sin. No matter what you've done, how bad you've been, if you believe on the Lord Jesus, you will be forgiven, you will be saved, you will be justified, you will be counted righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. So please speak to me about that today. Find another Christian. Speak to them about that. We want you to know the Lord Jesus. And see from this passage that if you abandon wisdom, you are running against Christ. If you abandon wisdom, you are turning from Christ, who is the wisdom of God. So come to Him. Come to Him and drink deeply from the everlasting, all-satisfying fountain, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, we see the rewards of wisdom for the son. This book of Proverbs is over and over again addressed to my son. We have the king speaking to his son who would become king, and we as God's children who will reign with him one day are being prepared for a kingship as well. And so we get to listen in to what the king of Israel is saying to his son. And we're to learn from that. And he says in verse 21, "My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." And so there are several exhortations here that we're to learn from and obey. Number one, keep your eyes on wisdom. Keep your eyes on wisdom. Keep your eyes on wisdom. Keep godly wisdom. We saw in chapter 3, verse 18, to hold her tight. Hold godly wisdom tight. Follow her. Listen to her. Stay close to her. Obey her. Keep your eyes on discretion. Discretion is planning out a course of action that is good or wise or pleasing to God. We're told to keep our eyes on wisdom and discretion, to keep them, to obey them. And that's what this whole book is going to be about. We're going to have so many situations to learn from the wisdom of God in the book of Proverbs. And so as we start this book, God is telling us, keep your eyes on wisdom. Keep your eyes on wisdom. Hold her tight. Keep her. Obey her. And then we see numerous rewards for why we should do this. Why we should keep our eyes on wisdom. Why we should keep wisdom and discretion. Verse 22, we're promised life. Life for your soul. Verse 22, wisdom and discretion will be life for your soul. And this is true in this life. In this life, when you follow Christ, when you follow the wisdom of God, when you keep your eyes fixed on Christ and the wisdom of God, you will have the true life, the abundant life, the joyful life, the satisfied life is the life in Christ, who is the wisdom of God. That's where true life is in this world. I was speaking to Brother Ted, and he tells me often about how in his days before he came to Christ, he would go to parties, and there would be tons of people partying, and there's plenty of liquor, and everyone was supposedly having fun, but you had a room full of people, and he said you can have a room full of people and feel totally alone and empty. And friend, one of my jobs as a pastor is to help you and to fight for me to see how empty sin is. And so there Ted is amongst all these people and feeling alone. And then he comes to Christ, and now he says, now he is living the full life. Now he's living the fun life. Now he's partying with Jesus. And that's where true satisfaction, true joy is found. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And then he says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. You, following Christ, following God's wisdom, you will have life for your soul in this life. And plus, not only will you have the best life in this life, what is the best life in this life is following the Lord. Wherever it leads, whatever you may face, whatever trials you come up against, your best life now is following Christ no matter what. Your best life now is not what you hear the TV preachers say. Having lots of stuff and cars and clothes and homes and having a big bank account. That's not your best life now. If that's your best life now, that makes a god of stuff and money. Your best life now is following Christ. I just read this morning, Randy Alcorn said, the reason God prospers you financially is that not so that you might up your standard of living, but that you might up your standard of giving. Oh God, that's what Francis Chan prayed. God, make me rich so that I can give it all away and help the poor. Make me rich so that I might help those in need. And God made him rich. He made his Crazy Love book a bestseller and gave him tons of money. And like Wesley, who got more and more money, but stayed at the same standard of living and just was able to give more away for the glory of King Jesus and the good of the gospel. Friends, our best life now is being obedient to Christ, trusting Christ, living for Christ. But also we have life for our soul in the world to come. Eternal life. Following Jesus, trusting Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. We have life for our soul because that's the only way to have eternal life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're familiar with what happened in Oregon where the shooter came into this school and said, if you're a Christian, stand up. And I read that the boldest person in America is the second person to stand up after the first one got shot. Wow. I want to be like that. I feel like a coward so much of the time. I want to be bold for Jesus. And stand for Him, even if I get shot. Because I know where I'm going. We know where we're going. And those people that got shot for Jesus, they are partying now. Oh my. They're not crying. They are enjoying their Savior and will so forever. We get eternal life in Jesus. We're promised beauty. Those who keep wisdom and discretion will be adorned. It will be adornment for your neck. There's beauty promised in verse 22 for those who watch and keep wisdom and discretion. What do you find beautiful? What do you find beautiful? Proverbs 11:22 says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Proverbs 11:22, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. What is true beauty? This says that you can have an appearance, the woman's appearance is beautiful, but if she lacks discretion, lacks the wisdom of God, it's like a pretty ring in a pig snout. Something doesn't belong. Something doesn't fit. Something's not right. And I wonder if you've noticed that amongst people. You see how they react, and if they're walking according to God's wisdom, they become much more beautiful. You see, maybe husbands and wives, you know this. You know this because you have arguments with one another, and you get angry with one another, and yet when one of you humbles yourself, and the voice tone goes lower, and there's repentance, honey, I'm sorry, I said this and it hurt you, and it was wrong, Will you please forgive me? Oh, how beautiful that is. Oh, how beautiful. A soft answer turns away wrath, the proverb says. When you humble yourself and say, I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? I got to see this at Broughton Alney this Thursday. We street preach, and sometimes people get really mad at us. And there was one man who was very mad at my friend preaching, and they began to argue. And I could see myself in this, because I can be argumentative sometimes and be angry, and that it's not. I saw that it's not beautiful. It's not a beautiful thing. But then after it all happened, there was confession and repentance and humility. And that is beautiful. That is beautiful. And so when you walk according to God's wisdom, when you look to Christ and live according to all we're going to learn in the book of Proverbs, you know, Proverbs 11:22 and 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. We're going to learn about all that as we study this book. And God is going to use that, I pray, to make you and me more beautiful and humble and broken before Him. We're promised security in verse 23. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you walk in God's way of wisdom, when you look to Christ, when you keep wisdom and discretion, your foot will not stumble, and God will hold you securely. It reminded me of Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. A fowler is like a hunter trying to catch birds in a trap. And this says God will deliver you from the hunter and from the deadly plague. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield to guard you from the fiery darts, and a buckler, another word for a shield, a protective barrier. And so when you walk in wisdom, when you keep wisdom, God will protect you. He will keep you secure. Your foot will not stumble. And fearlessness, verse 24. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. If you lie down and you're walking in wisdom and keeping discretion, you will not be afraid. Again, Psalm 91, verses 5 through 7. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the plague that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. These are promises of God for you who would keep wisdom and discretion and walk in them. And I do think we ought to ask the question, are we doing that? And if not, are the troubles in our lives because we haven't been doing that? If we've not been walking according to God's wisdom and we have trials and problems, well, friend, as we learned a few weeks ago, that's the love of God disciplining you to walk in the way of wisdom. We are promised sweet sleep, verse 24. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Did you know that God promises sleep to those He loves? Psalm 127:2, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. He gives to His beloved sleep. When you walk in the way of wisdom, when you follow the Lord Jesus, when you trust in Him, you'll have a clear conscience. You'll have a clear conscience. You can sleep well, work hard during the day, live for Jesus, and sleep well at night with no condemnation, no fear, no worries, because you can trust in the Lord. John Piper's written a wonderful devotion on sleep. Why did God make us to sleep a third of our lives and act like dead people? We need sleep. So about a third of our lives, we're like dead people, asleep. And one of his conclusions is, it whispers to us, you are not God. You are not God. you are not God. God never sleeps nor slumbers. And He's got things under control. And He will take care of you. And so go to sleep and rest easy. When you walk in God's wisdom, when you look to Christ, when you walk in His way, your sleep will be sweet. And the last promise here is for salvation and confidence in the Lord. Verses 25 and 26. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So walking in the way of wisdom, keeping wisdom, looking to Christ, following Christ, you will not be afraid of sudden terror. So there's this fearlessness again involved. And I thought again of what happened in Oregon. You had this former Army serviceman who didn't run away from the shooter, but ran toward the shooter to stop the shooting and got shot 5 times. Now, I don't know if he's a believer, but what a picture of fearlessness. That we're free to act crazy like that because we have a great God who will take care of us and watch over us, and we can be fearless in the knowledge of His love, in the knowledge of His grace, in the knowledge of His care, in the knowledge that our God who loves us so much also rules and reigns over all things. He rules and reigns over all shooters and all guns and all policies. He rules and reigns over all bullets and where they would hit you or not hit you. He's in absolute control over everything, and we can trust Him. We can trust Him. Especially with our eternal soul. You notice the text said you will not be afraid of the sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked. Again, I thought of Psalm 91 verse 8. You will only look with your eyes and see the reward of the wicked. And the Lord will be your confidence. The Lord will save you from the ruin of the wicked. I wonder if any of you are ever tempted, like the psalmist in Psalm 73, to be jealous of the wicked. This person never comes to church. They never they're living in all kinds of immorality. And their life is so good. They have everything. And I'm jealous, Lord. I've been following You for years, and everything seems to be working out for them and not for me. You read Psalm 73 today and you'll see that's what he's struggling with. But then he says, I came into the sanctuary of the Lord and I saw their end. He saw the end of the wicked. He saw the reward of the wicked, that it would be eternal destruction in hell forever, forever and ever and ever. That scared me this morning as I spoke about that in Sunday school, that the place of hell is eternal. After you've been there a billion years, you're no sooner to the end than when you first began. Think about that. It never ends. Friend, that is the reward of the wicked, because they have sinned and offended a good and holy and infinite God. But you see, if you're in Jesus, if you've believed in Jesus, you've been delivered from that punishment. You've been delivered. You've been saved. You've been redeemed. You don't have to worry about the ruin of the wicked. And so they can have all their fun in this life. And you may suffer pain in this life. But friend, what does it matter to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What does it matter if you have to suffer 70, 80, 90, 100 years in this life and then have fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore for all eternity? Wow. And why? Why do we get to enjoy this? Because we have a Savior who deserves all glory and honor and praise and all these rewards infinitely. And yet He took the punishment that we deserve. Jesus is the perfect Son who never lost sight of God's wisdom and discretion and kept them just as God desires. Yet He tasted death for you so that your body and soul might have everlasting life. He was adorned not with a necklace, but with spit and beatings and lacerations and a crown of thorns so that you might be crowned with glory and honor. His foot did stumble. It did stumble. Remember, on the way to Calvary when he could not carry his cross so that you might walk securely and your foot will not stumble. He took upon himself the sudden terror of the wrath of God, experienced the ruin of the wicked, and was laid down dead in that tomb so that you might be forever delivered from the sudden terror of the wrath of God and the ruin of the wicked and be raised up to live forever on the last day where there will be fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore in God's presence. He did that for you and sinners that no man can number. And yet, that was not the end for Jesus. That's why we're here this morning. God raised him from the dead. He was raised to life as the most beautiful human being who's ever crossed the horizon of this world. He secured the whole universe. His foot will never stumble again. He will not lie down in death again. And you can place all your confidence in the risen Christ, for he has conquered sin. He has conquered death, he has conquered hell, and he has conquered the grave forevermore. And if you are in him, you have been raised to life with him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord Jesus founded the earth, then died and rose to give new birth. To you, he is, he should be, of greatest worth. Let's pray that as we look at wisdom, we see Christ and God more and more moves us to find Jesus to be our greatest worth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you give us these truths that instruct us in all the benefits of walking in wisdom. Lord, we pray you would search our hearts. Lord, we pray you would help us know your love. And feel your love showered upon us in Christ and in your commitment to help us be more like Jesus, make us more like Jesus. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to see ways in which we're not keeping our eyes fixed on wisdom and discretion, ways in which we're not keeping them, ways in which we're not following Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that by your Spirit you would convict us. And you would change us that we might walk with Christ and enjoy him more and delight in him more. And so, Holy Spirit, come and do your work in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen.